There are so many ballads and songs and orchestral compositions about gardens that they practically comprise a genre. I had the chance recently to talk with WNYC's musicologist John Schaefer, and I asked him if he thought composers wrote so much about gardens simply because gardens are right there, close at hand.
Well, I think that's certainly the case in England. You know, the English with their gardens and gardening. Certainly, there are lots of English composers, right up to rock bands, who talk about gardens in a very straightforward way. But I think there's also the image of the garden for what it can mean in a larger sense as a metaphor for building a life and a place for oneself that really has inspired and fired the imagination of many composers.
And I suppose that combination of the natural and the wild and the man-made is something is for composers, as for many artists, a great attraction.
And also the fact that it gives a composer an opportunity to paint a portrait of a place that perhaps is not so close to home. And in fact, in the late Victorian period and on into the early years of the 20th century, it was rather a popular thing to do in concert halls, was to try and create pieces that evoked, you know, the mysticism of the perfumed Orient. And what better way to do that than through some of these incredible and lavish gardens that could be found in places like Persia and northern India and on into China.
What's an example of that kind of music?
Well, a good example is an English composer named Alfred Ketelby, who basically made a living doing this sort of thing. He had a whole series of pieces in a fill-in-the-blank garden. We're going to hear a piece called In a Chinese Temple Garden, which basically is a depiction of just that.
And this piece of music is from the turn of the century, or early in the 20th century, probably.
It's an early 20th century piece.
Let's listen.
The Chinese Temple Garden is simply your point of entry for this whole panorama that's supposed to bring the Far East into this Edwardian English concert hall. At one point, the members of the orchestra are instructed to shout Chinese-sounding phrases to kind of evoke the sounds of the Chinese marketplace just over the wall on the other side of the garden.
A pity we don't have a recording of those Chinese-sounding phrases from 1915, whatever they may have been. And it obviously wasn't just turn-of-the-century Englishmen who looked to the garden for inspiration.
Well, when you think of one of the central tenets of Western Judeo-Christian society, it is that our lives are miserable because we were supposed to be living in a garden and we were thrown out through our own fault. So this is a pretty fundamental kind of image that's at the root of, as I say, a lot of Western culture. And not surprisingly, it's something that you'll find in a lot of different fields of musical endeavor, including vocalist Bobby McFerrin and a song called The Garden, which is about just that. It's about the loss of the Garden of Eden. Although it's not a tragic song, it takes a sort of ironic, almost humorous look at the loss of the garden and the fact that maybe it's not lost for good.
Let's listen to Bobby McFerrin.
There in need and there was good. There in the garden where the tree of life stood. There that snake was, there was pain. And we're trying to get back to the garden again.
You know, I like the fact that at the end of this song, the last line is, but there is still a glimmer in the big man's eye, you know, as if to say that we haven't lost it forever and that there is still the intention on the part of the big man up there to bring us back in. So the song has a lot more of a positive connotation than many songs that talk about Eden.
Being cast out.
Right.
The final piece that you've brought for us today was a collaboration, but not a a conscious collaboration on the part of one of the collaborators. Tell us about that.
Well, the filmmaker, the English filmmaker Derek Jarman, as he was dying of AIDS, decided to grow a garden on the bleak shores of Dungeness in southern England, where nothing will readily grow. He wrote a series of poems, most of them published as part of a book called Modern Nature, which is basically a diary. The song, I Walk in This Garden, is by the English composer Donna McKevitt, who worked briefly with Jarman on his film Blue, and after his death, set a number of these poems to music. And in keeping with the landscape of Dungeness, she set the texts in a very spare, very bleak way.
Let's listen to I Walk in This Garden.
Especially in the case of this particular artist, knowing that his time was short and that he would be dead within a year of writing this, I mean, to read his struggle just to maintain this garden is itself a metaphor for the larger struggle of his fight against AIDS. The plea, the almost hopeless plea for the garden to come back again next year is just all the more poignant.
John Schaefer, thank you very much for joining us today in Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt.
The forgotten.